I want to thank you all for the kind comments and the responses that you did give me. And I just want to say that this is God's story that he has been teaching me, and I'm just the one that's conveying it to you. So the glory goes to God, but I thank you for your encouragement, and you are a very nice group to break the in. So let's just start with prayer. Father, we do come to you, and we thank you that you have shown us yourself, that you are the sovereign God who is in control of the heavens and the earth, and yet you have chosen us. You have put us on a path. You have marked it out, and you have made it unique for us. And now as we consider the things that might hinder us and might trip us up, I pray that you would give us sensitive minds, teachable minds, and help us to prayerfully consider what you would like us to do in our own lives. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that weren't here last night, we were talking about how God has put us all in the race of faith. If anyone who's a Christian, you are in that race. You don't get a choice. But our choice comes in how obedient we're going to be in that race, whether we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus and run to him, or if we're going to be looking down in our own resources, if we're going to be distracted by circumstances. All those things enter into how we run the race and how we run it effectively. Well, today's two morning messages are going to be very different. They're going to build on that, but if you've looked at all in your booklet, it's on the uncluttered life. And I said last night, you'll probably all hate me by the end of these two talks, but I hope it gets some discussion going amongst us, and I hope that it's something that we just talk about and we help each other with. And I start by saying there's a real advantage to being an outsider and bringing this issue to you. No matter how much you might think, I'm not talking about you. It might be your conscience that is talking to you, but it's not me. So last month, a New York Times editorial started with this comment. I recently discovered the secret to livening up even the dullest conversation. Introduce the topic of clutter. Everyone I meet seems to be waging a passionate, private battle against their own stuff. And they perk up as soon as you mention it. A recent survey reported that 54% of Americans feel overwhelmed by clutter, and 78% of those don't know how to get rid of it. Another study, this might hit home, of middle-class families in Los Angeles found that just 1 in 4 families could fit a car in their garage. Oh. Many North Americans own so much stuff that they actually have to pay to keep it in storage. The self-storage industry in the U.S. has grown bigger than the entire music industry at a whopping $12 billion a year. We also have to build and buy bigger homes to house all of our unused stuff. New homes today have 3 times the closet space of a typical 1950s home. What is your clutter? It could be not being able to park the car in the garage because it's too full of other things. It could be trying to clear out a house of a relative who just passed away. It could be the frustration of knowing that you have something, but you can't find it. It could be standing in front of a closet full of clothes and yet feeling that you have nothing to wear. It could be the frustration of buying something only to find out you already own it. Whatever it is, I am convinced that too much stuff is increasingly a problem in 21st century America. When I started researching this topic, I had that perception reinforced. There are many new books written on the simple life, and it's called The Minimalist Life or The Uncluttered Life. Titles such as The Clutter Cure, Enough, Organize Simplicity, Unstuff Your Life, Conquer the Clutter, The Simple Living Handbook, or on the New York Times bestseller list right now, the life-changing magic of tidying up. And then did any of you notice at the beginning of the year, if you're standing in the grocery checkout line and just perusing the magazine titles, January is the month when they're pushing decluttering. So many of the magazine titles, you know, clean your house, declutter, and with the little byline, so that you can pour your time and passion into what brings you the most joy, your mission in life. Many of these books and articles are from a non-Christian perspective, but they still contain some helpful ideas. But as Christians, if our desire is to live a simplified life, it's not just so that we can sit back in smug satisfaction and say, I'm finally organized. It's not so that we can sit in judgment over those that are still struggling with issue. Our goal in this, as in everything in our life, is to glorify God. So in fitting with this retreat topic of running a race, how is a simplified or uncluttered life going to help us run the race in a way that will bring honor to God? So that's the perspective I hope to bring to this topic. Someone has said God gives us people to love and things to use, not things to love and people to use. I think that's a good perspective for us to start with. Now remember back to our first talk when we're on a pilgrimage through this life. We're journeying through. Imagine just for a second that you are on a trip to Europe and you have what's called a Europass that enables you to jump on and off of trains at your leisure, and you want to see as much and do as much as possible during this time of your trip. Now you have a choice. You can be that typical American tourist that's hauling two heavy bags behind you packed with everything you might possibly need for this trip to Europe, or you could be that tourist who has a small backpack that you hoist onto your shoulder, you look up at the directional signs, you hop on the train with anticipation of what's ahead of you. That's the choice we have in our life. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Where are we going? We're on a journey. Are you ready, no matter where it is? What is holding you back from moving into that next stage, that next step, that next season of life? What about your material possessions? Are they working for you or against you? Are they a weight that is hindering the running of the race, or are they tools that are being used to serve the body of Christ? Our course, our racetrack, our path has been laid out by God. Whether we can sprint, or if we need a cane, or we need a wheelchair, is designed by God. But I believe that we are willing participants and that we choose how much baggage we're going to haul around with us. Now, maybe it's only fair to share how I have come to my position. In 1980, long time ago, with two small children, my husband and I bought our first house in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. 6 years later, we moved 1,000 miles away to Bangor, Maine, to a 2.5-story big New England house. We knew we were moving to a larger house, so we didn't bother to downsize. We just packed everything up and took it with us. 13 years later, and one more child, and a time of collecting more and more very useful stuff, the Lord called us to the mission field. At that time, we had a choice. We could rent a storage locker, we could rent the house furnished, or we could get rid of things. We chose to give or sell most everything. After almost 3 years in Uganda, we were back in the States preparing for the move, and it looked like the Lord would be using us overseas for a while. So we took the remaining few items with us, and things like Christmas ornaments or the children's books and toys that we were saving for future grandchildren, or the special pottery serving dishes made by our brother-in-law, those kinds of things we took with us to Africa. I talked last night about the prison experience in that country. And during the 4 days that I shared a cell with 25 other women, the Lord taught me many things about his care for me. At first, I only had the clothes that I was wearing, my Sunday clothes, and my purse, nothing else. Now, when we first were gathered up before they had put us in cells, no one thought that I would actually be put in that prison cell. So I emptied my purse of anything that I thought might help others. I had a small Bible I gave away, chapstick, hand sanitizers, and tissues, and I distributed those to my friends. Well, then when it turned out that I was put in a prison cell, yeah, but I was thankfully in the same cell with the person who had my chapstick, which was the most important, and my hand sanitizer. So my Bible and my tissues were in another cell and somewhere in the world right now. But I just thought that that was interesting, that at that time of my life, probably the chapstick was my most important possession. Not really. But that's all I had. And so until then, so as I was telling you, that people would bring things in to the prison, food and everything. Other things, and I'll talk more about that later. But I had nothing, and everything I needed I was able to share with others in my prison cell. So after 4 days, John and I were released, and after another week and a half, ordered out of the country. We left that country with 4 footlockers, all of my husband's library and 30 years worth of sermons were left behind. All of my pots and pans, my brother-in-law's pottery dishes, the toys that we were hoping to pass down to grandchildren, many of the things that we thought were our treasures were left behind. What have I learned? God gives new treasures. I can give you so many stories of how God has provided for us. We arrived in the States virtually empty-handed, but blessed. Our colleagues on that field had been Brian and Dorothy Wingard, and Dorothy's father just happened to be living north of Boston where we would be for our year furlough. He was moving to Florida, and he said, you know, I don't want to take all these things with me. Just come and take what you need to furnish your apartment for this year. So we were able to do that. And then at the end of that furlough year, when we're ready to move to Uruguay, we were able to pass those things on to a church in the area that was setting up an apartment for a missionary family. So the Lord gives and you pass it on. When we went to Uruguay, the committee decided that it would be more economically feasible for us to just buy things down there and leave them for the next mission family. And so the Richlines now have a few of our chairs and other things that we had when we were there. So when we came back in 2011, we again came with 4 footlockers. Or as Susan was reminding me, we did send a few boxes of books with them when they were down there. But again, the Lord has provided for us through the generosity of others. Many churches and individuals have rebuilt my husband's library. One church gave us money to buy a mattress and box springs. Neighbors of someone in our church that I've still never met were breaking up a home and had an extra bedroom set with dressers and everything else that they just gave us. This is how the Lord has provided for us. We've been home almost 4 years. There is nothing that I need. He has given us everything, and he has used other people to do that. If we're going to talk about decluttering, we need to define what is clutter. If we were to go on a scavenger hunt, you love those, don't you? In your house right now, would we find any of the following? An old watch that does not work even after putting in a new battery. a perfectly good combination lock, but with one problem, no one remembers the combination. Clothes that don't fit, an old suitcase with a broken zipper, 3 potato peelers because you're still looking for the perfect one, the owner's manual for an appliance that you no longer own, birthday cards from 10 years ago, a program to a concert you went to last year, writing pens that don't write anymore, last year's calendar, or maybe 3 years ago calendar too, an item of clothing with the store tags still attached, makeup that you've tried but you didn't like, craft projects that were started but are not and never will be finished. What is clutter? Clutter is anything that doesn't serve a purpose or bring you joy. Another name for clutter is stuff. What is stuff? I'll give you an illustration from the Simple Living Handbook. To really understand the meaning of stuff, sometimes you need to move it. Do you remember moving into your current house? Hopefully you do, otherwise your level of stuff might be dangerously high. Remember hauling box after box up and down the stairs? Looking at those things and saying, what is in them? Where did they all come from? They can't all be mine. Do you still have boxes that you haven't unpacked? When you move, it's easier to see stuff for its true stuffness. Doesn't that sound more like a master than a servant? Someone has said that we spend the first 40 years of life generally amassing stuff, and you will spend the next 40 years trying to get rid of it. In the Western world, the weirdness of too much begins to seem normal. I've had the advantage of having to get rid of most of my possessions to move to the mission field. I've had the advantage of leaving behind what we had left when we were forced out of the country. I have had the advantage of voluntarily leaving behind our possessions for another family to use. I have had the advantage of being forced into these situations so the Lord could show me how faithful He is in providing for all of my daily needs. And I truly do see these life experiences as an advantage. It's true. God is the one who downsized me, downsized my possessions, and I am so very thankful He did. But really, what is wrong with clutter? Would our lives be better without it? I think a premise that we can agree on is that we are to be good stewards of our gifts, time, money, and possessions. Clutter is not just useless junk filling our drawers. It can be too much of a perfectly good thing. It's having more than we need. In the book Enough, some of you may have read this, it's a Christian book, Finding More with Less, Will Davis Jr. sets out the risk of having more than enough. Having more than enough can make you proud. We forget that what we have is a gift from God. Having more than enough can make you feel entitled. We think we are more important than we really are. Having more than enough can create a false sense of security. We tend to trust our own resources instead of trusting in God. Having more than enough distracts you. You have to manage it. Having more than enough only makes you hungry for more. Newfound prizes don't satisfy like you thought they would. Having more than enough creates powerful people, people who think they deserve special privileges from others. Having more than enough can make you unappreciative. Living with plenty can cause you to take for granted what you have. The author here is addressing the Christian who is caught up in the American lifestyle of just collecting more and more things, even though they don't need more and more things. Ask the question, do I need it? If you are someone who cooks a lot, then your needs will be different from someone who doesn't. If you're an artist, you need supplies. Or a grandmother who babysits her children, your needs are different. Remember, our possessions need to serve a purpose, be useful, or bring us joy. I need to say this often, clutter is not the same as possessions. Some of you have been blessed with a lot, but you use a lot. You are known for your generosity and hospitality. Those possessions are not what we're talking about. Clutter are not the things that you're using. Clutter are the things that you are not using. For one person, having four cookie sheets is not clutter because they have a big oven and they're baking all the time. For another person, having one cookie sheet is clutter because they simply don't use it. Do you see the difference? We are all different, and we need to ask God to make our conscience sensitive to how He wants us to live. Just go through the analogy that I used before. Do you want to be dragging heavy suitcases while boarding the train, or do you want to travel lightly? What is wrong with clutter? It can distract us from God. As we have just seen, it can make us think that we are self-sufficient and that we can control our future. We are material creatures. We find security in things, but those things can give us a false sense of security. What else is wrong with clutter? Clutter takes our money, first to purchase it, then to maintain it, then to store it. Another problem, clutter also takes our time. Stuff demands moving, sorting, storing, maintaining, fixing, losing, hiding, and disposing. We spend a lot of time just thinking about things, let alone the time we spend working to purchase them to begin with. Are material objects taking time that should be spent on something more profitable? Is your mind so cluttered that it leaves insufficient room for devotion to Christ? Clutter gets in the way. Do you have to clear out your car before giving someone a ride? Do you have to clear off the table before you can sit down to eat? Or have you given up on using the table for eating? Too much stuff can cause us stress and worry. How many times have you sat down to take a well-deserved rest and to pick up a book and read it, and all of a sudden your eye catches the dishes that haven't been washed, the table that needs to be dusted, the laundry that needs to be folded? A streamlined, simplified life really is easier. Many people talk about living in a world that is just moving too fast. Sometimes your mind is just dizzy and you are overwhelmed. Getting rid of excess clutter can really help. Let me give you an example, something called reverse culture shock. I remember coming back to the first world country after living almost 3 years in Africa and having to face a very common activity, to go grocery shopping. I remember standing in the cereal aisle, completely overwhelmed. There were simply too many choices. I couldn't decide. After a long time, I left without buying anything. Paralysis of the mind can happen when there are too many choices. This is the same decision-making dilemma we face when standing in front of a closet, or looking in the freezer, or looking at a stack of magazines and books, or even turning on the TV. We are overwhelmed. Too many choices make our decision more difficult. It takes time and it adds stress. Now, imagine a closet where everything fits well and you like what you have. Imagine a magazine basket that had the current unread issues and nothing more. Imagine, just imagine. What are some of the other problems with clutter? Clutter keeps you tied to the past. Your thoughts tend to dwell in the past as the things around you force your mind to reminisce. Solutions tend to be rooted in the past. Additionally, our minds are tied to the past because there's no available space for anything new. Doing anything just because you have always done it is a classic example of clutter. Now, here's a checklist. Is clutter a problem for you? This comes from a book, not from me. Do you have more possessions than you can comfortably handle? Are you embarrassed to invite family, friends, healthcare providers, or maintenance workers into your home because it's not presentable? Is your home, or any part of it, unusable for its intended purpose? A bed you can't sleep in, a garage you can't park in, a kitchen you can't cook in, or a table you can't use for dining. Do you have a weakness for discarded items, bargain items, freebies, reading materials, or yard sales? Do you avoid starting assignments, miss deadlines, or abandon projects because you can't readily find the paperwork or material you need? Do you rent storage space to house possessions that you rarely use? Do cleaning, organizing, upkeep, and maintenance become daunting tasks, making the simplest of chores insurmountable? Do you bring an item into your home without designating a place for it and releasing an equivalent one? Do you often replace possessions rather than find or clean those you already have? Do you feel a strong sense of emotional attachment toward your possessions, making it difficult to release them? Do you consider all your possessions to be of equal worth, whether or not the objects have financial, functional, or sentimental value? Do you waste your valuable time and talents by constantly rescuing yourself from clutter? Is your clutter problem growing? If you answered yes to some of these questions, then you have a clutter problem. We have seen that clutter takes our time and money and can cause us stress, but as Christians, we also have to evaluate if our possessions are helping or if they interfere with our ministry in the body of Christ. If you are embarrassed to have people to your house because it is so messy, cluttered, or dirty, if you are not able to take part in hospitality because you are ashamed of your house, then clutter is a problem. Sometimes our possessions hold us back from moving ahead like God would like us to. Are we ready to go, to serve? Can we make necessary life changes, like moving to assisted living when we need to? Are we shackled to our home and possessions? It is not just a matter of whether you have room for your past, uniforms, awards, kids' clothes, etc., but also what impact your past is having on your present. Some people find security in the known of the past instead of trusting God for the unknowns ahead. But time does not stand still. Yesterday is gone, and if we rely on the memories of the past to give us happiness, then we are not getting much pleasure out of our present life. We need to ask God to help us find the balance between the precious memories of the past and the unhealthy desire to repeat and stay in the past. Is our attachment to physical objects causing us to drag our feet when it is time to leave them behind? What about dying? Are we more worried about what will happen to our earthly possessions than preparing for our eternal home? We have friends that live on the East Coast in a very large three-story home. It is full of beautiful objects that they have collected over the years. They spent 1 year of ministry in Africa and left a part of themselves there. My friend says that she would gladly leave all of her material possessions in a moment if they had the opportunity to go overseas again. In the meantime, they use their home and their possessions to serve the Lord here. They have taken in refugees and given a home to single mothers. This is an example of the proper use of possessions. Use it for the benefit of others and the glory of God, and be ready to let it go if need be. Are you still undecided about whether a simplified, uncluttered life is better? Here's a review of some of the benefits. There is less stress. Extra possessions just mean busyness and distractions. We are being robbed of time we need to be spending elsewhere, growing spiritually, and serving others. Getting organized will save you time. You will be able to find the item that you need. You will save money because you are not buying as many things. You save because you don't have to rent a storage facility. You don't have to keep buying something because you can't find the one you already own. And when it is time to move, it's cheaper to move fewer items. It will give you a place ready for ministry. You could be the exception and be serving out of chaos, but it is the exception. Some people say it will improve your health. I have to put that, some people will say, because I'm not a doctor, but less stress, less dust to aggravate your allergies. Some say it will improve your relationship by turning your attention away from things to people. Some say it will make you happier. Clutter really does affect our moods. We know that material objects accumulate rapidly and get dirty, break, take up space, and hide what you need to find. But just decluttering and organizing are not enough. It gets cluttered again unless there is a mental change. We'll get more into that in the next talk, but we have to learn to put some distance, emotional distance, between ourselves and material objects. We need to be able to look at an item and be able to answer the question, why am I keeping it? Does it contribute to my life now? Now, some of you might say the opposite. Why get rid of it? I have the space. I can still walk through the house without tripping over things. So why not just leave well enough alone? Who has the time to go through a junk drawer or a basement or a garage anyway? Out of sight, out of mind, right? I've tried to show that there's value in a simplified life for you, but there is also value for others. Someone has to deal with your stuff. It will either be you or someone you love. One older woman told me that she will just keep everything and let her kids figure out what to keep or to throw away. Is that fair? How will they know what is worth keeping for future generations if we don't? Think of your descendants. Picture someone else going through all the cartons and boxes and files that you leave behind. The information will mean even less to them, yet they will feel constrained to look at it all. If you don't have time to go through the cartons of paper, why inflict that on someone else? What is wrong with clutter? It takes our money, our time, our attention, and in place of those things, it gives us more stress, and it will leave a burden for others if we don't deal with our own clutter. Are there dangers in this issue of decluttering? Early on in my preparations for the retreat talks, this was going to be the theme of the whole retreat. But my husband cautioned me that a simple life is not in and of itself a virtue. It's what we do with a simple life. If you make organizing or simplifying or decluttering the center of your life, you have missed the most important thing. Quoting again from that New York Times editorial I started with, it is hard to resist the decluttering fever. I too spend my weekends filling bags with cookbooks, toys, and vintage dresses, and then hauling them away. For the first time in years, I can lay my hands on any one of my sweaters. But the more stuff I shed, the more I realize that we declutterers feel besieged by more than just our possessions. I can sit in an empty room and still not get anything done. It's consoling to think, beneath all these distractions, we'll discover our shining, authentic selves or even achieve a state of mindfulness. But I doubt it. The writer of the editorial concludes, I'm starting to suspect that the joy of ditching all of our stuff is just as much of an illusion as the joy of acquiring it all was. Less, maybe more, but it's still not enough. End of quote. It's a myth to think that organizing our external environment is the answer to our inner peace. Peace is a right standing with God. But I think that out of that right standing with God and a lack of clutter, we can better cultivate the fruit of the Spirit of peace. I want to live a simple life in a complex world, but I don't want it to be simple and selfish. I want it to be simple with a servant's heart. I want to live a simple life, but I want it to be simple and not self-righteous. I don't want to sit back in smug self-satisfaction or in judgment on others, but rather be a good steward of everything the Lord has given me, time, talents, and possessions. And I am very aware that the Lord has helped me along in this process by taking things away from me. There is a danger of thinking that there is one simple pattern that fits everyone. If any of you have done any reading in this, there are all kinds of theories out there. One is that 33 items is the maximum number of clothes that you should have in your closet. 33, really? There's not one way to do this. We are all at different stages in our life. Are you a student? Are you single? Do you have babies, small children, homeschooling, empty nest? At each stage, you need different things. We also have different personalities that are going to be expressed in a unique way in our surroundings. When it comes to possessions, we are allowed to pick favorites. Hold on to the things that you love. There is no set list of stuff to have, just the items you need and the items that you love, nothing more. Be intentional in your control over stuff instead of being controlled by it. But again, if you love it, keep it. The goal of a simplified life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. The end result is not a museum piece, but a life of service to God. Whether you follow the example of the rich fool in Luke 12, who wanted to tear down his barns to build larger ones to store his excess harvest, or even if you give away all that you own, you are a fool to do either one unless God is behind it. Just as having too much can make you feel independent of God, simplifying your life can make you feel as if you're in control of it. Possessions have a funny way of shaping our psyche. If we hold an object and feel more important, more confident because of that, then we're in danger of that object becoming an idol. On the other hand, if we hold an object and then by our own self-will discard that object, then we're in danger of trusting in our own strength to control our lives. Remember when I said that most of the literature being written on the simple life is from a non-Christian viewpoint? Much of it uses the idea that we can use that strength of our inner self to focus on our own needs and not be distracted by the lives of others. Some non-Christians even call people and interruptions they make on us clutter. We may need to set boundaries, but I don't find it helpful to think of people as clutter. As a Christian, we know that God has put us in family. We have obligations to one another. People will make demands on us. We cannot live a sterile, simple life in the Christian world. Relationships are often messy. I used to have a lot more things. I like to say that the Lord was the one who downsized our family's possessions. First in going to Uganda, then leaving things behind, and it has not always been easy, but it is wonderfully freeing. Think of those interviews that you see on TV, those people who have lost everything in a fire or a flood or a tornado. They almost always say how hard it was to lose their material possessions, to see them destroyed, but then they reflect, but they were only material possessions. My family is safe. That's what's really important. Could we say that? Can we act on that in small ways now? Is an uncluttered life better than a cluttered life? Is there anything intrinsically better or more godly about a simplified life? Only if it allows us to serve, to be a functioning part of the body, and to grow in godliness. Therefore, only the results of an uncluttered life make it superior. There is a danger. Absence of stuff is like a vacuum that needs to be filled. Don't fill it with more clutter. Look on it as an opportunity to fill it in different ways, to grow and to change and to be used in service to others. The next part of this will follow a little bit later. We'll get into specifics, but for now, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the material blessings that you have given us. We thank you that in this world, in this country, we have so much. And we just pray that we would have a good value on the things that you've given us, that we would be willing to share with others, that we would be willing to use our possessions to be of service to others, and that we would delight in them. We would have joy in the beauty of your world and the creation and the things that we have. Pray that you would help us to find that balance and that you would help us to be able to serve you better, even using our material objects. Pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.